The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Jamie D and Big Newt. I'm Jamie D'Amico, he's Big Chris Newton, and we are here talking about the madness that is March. Yes, we've got the basketball tournament about to begin. We have free agency, the new league year, and Big Chris Newton sitting across from me. What's going on, buddy?
Virtually. I'm not actually across. I'm 100 miles away. But yeah, man, you know, I'm here with you emotionally. But yeah, man, it's a range of emotions the last 2 weeks, man. I mean, since we left off, you know, like I told you, Simone played for the state championship. And last Saturday, we lost to a good Princess Anne team. You know, so she was bummed about that. And also, I'm tired, man. My glutes, my hammies. We went to New York City this week. Simone had a visit with Columbia University and their basketball program, who is actually going dancing also. Well, they're in the play-in game. Yeah, they're in the play-in game. So,
it got your glutes. What were you doing with your butt?
Man, when you're a big dude, man, everything hurts. Okay. Everything hurts, man. Well, I walked, I don't know how many steps, man, in New York City, but it was fun, man. I came back yesterday and I just sat on the couch all day watching hoops and then watching the brackets unfold, both men and women. So, but yeah, it was a good time, man. And it's funny. I should post this picture. I don't know. Have you been to the city before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Have you heard of the Summit? It's on Vanderbilt Ave. It's about a mile or two away from Times Square.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
It's a 100-story building called the Summit. And it's big because, I mean, a lot of TikTokers and stuff go, and it's made of glass at the top so you can get a 360-degree view of the city. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? So we went up in that, and I was just freaked out, dude. And I don't know if it was because of my glutes and hammy was so sore for walking and doing all the standing and stuff. But when I did get out there, man, I felt like the building was moving, man. Like, I was freaking out.
Oh, you got straight vertigo from being up there, huh?
Yes, yes, man. It's crazy. I suggest you go. It's called the Summit, man. It's good. It costs like $40 to get in. And like I said, it gives you a 360-degree view of the city, all glass. And then it's so much glass that even when you go to the bathroom, it's glass. So you could be in the Sears building, I guess. I don't know. It's another big building looking across. And I'm like, there's people in there right now. And they could just see me using the bathroom. So it was bananas. It was
I was in a bathroom like that in Helsinki. Helsinki, mm-hmm. Finland. We were at this rooftop bar, same sort of thing. And my wife goes, hey, make sure you go into the stall on the far, at the end of the hallway. Mm-hmm. And I go in there. Yep. Sure enough, it was the corner of the building and it was glass on two sides.
Yes.
I was like, whoa. That was
crazy. I was like, what if you're
now
taking a
this dump? Is a throne with a view.
Now, I know that's right. I was like, that's crazy, man. But I was like, oh, that's fun. It's something different. I definitely was out of my comfort zone doing that. And then after that, we went down to Times Square. We hung out there till about 1 o'clock in the morning, then we ate greasy Popeyes in Times Square, hanging out like we were drinking clubbing. So it was fun, man. It's something we're always going to remember.
You went all the way to New York to eat Popeyes.
I know, right? I was obviously, you know, my favorite is pizza. And so I'm like, you know, but Simone is a little bit more particular about what she eats. So she goes on Yelp and all that stuff. And she's like, no, this place got bad reviews. They said this place. So I was like, okay, look, I'm hungry. You're hungry. Let's just go. It's a Popeyes right here. Let's just get Popeyes. You know what I'm saying? So we wind up having New York pizza the next day. But yeah, I was just like, dude, we got, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. Let's just get something to eat. So we ate Popeyes.
Well, hey, you know what? Sometimes the late at night thing is, I mean, you can't beat it. Now, I have to say, you gave me the opportunity to play my all-time favorite game, which is Where is Newt? So to all of you, I don't know, have you posted it on Twitter?
I didn't.
So the Newt always shows up on television. He's always on TV. In the background, mind you. But sure enough, somebody took a picture of ESPN, and there he is right behind the bench again with Simone.
Yes. We were at the game. We was at the Penn-Princeton game, Ivy League semifinals for girls, and that was our seats. We were sitting right behind the scores table, and they was doing the post game with their players, and we were, like, right there. So one of Simone's classmates is actually going to Columbia, so he was watching the game, and he said that was his TV. And I was like, oh, let me send this to Jamie. So, yes, we were on ESPN and replays and stuff. And I sent it to my wife, and you know what she said?
What?
She said, you look like a sack of potatoes. And I was like,
man, she's such a ball buster.
I know, man. She busts my chops, man. Jeez.
Dude.
But it was fun, though. She was just jealous because she wasn't there. That's all. She was mad. She was butthurt.
Yeah, she's mad about that. But, like, didn't she and Jalen go to the Final Four last year?
Yes, they went to the Final Four the last 2 years.
So what's she upset about?
She's jealous, man. You know how some people are, man. They don't want to see you have any happiness, man. That's what she does. She don't look at all the great stuff she gets to do, and I had to stay back with Simone. So, you know, she wants all the fun. But we're not going to miss it this year, though. We'll be there. Actually, we're going to the Women's Final Four in Cleveland. The men will be in Arizona. And so if you look at those brackets, I'm sure we could talk about that because your Dayton Flyers are in.
They're in.
So we can talk about that. But yeah, I'm going to the girls. I'm going to the girls Final Four. I think the girls are going to be much more interesting this year than the boys.
A lot of storylines. That's probably true.
A lot of storylines on the girls' side. So.
Yeah. So yeah, my Dayton Flyers, they ended up being moved to the Western bracket. Our number 7 going up against Nevada. My Dayton Flyers have been, they just stumbled. Stumbled right into the tournament at the end. When I went to see them a few weeks ago play George Mason, the Flyers are ranked 14th in the nation. They end up with a terrible loss to George Mason, and then they got beat by Duquesne in the Atlantic 10 tournament, and I'm like, oh God, they're going to end up an 11 seed. Well, nope. Instead, they're going to play an 11 seed that is more than capable of beating them, so it might be they'll be done after the first weekend. Damn it.
So you went to the George Mason game at Mason in Fairfax?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Was the band there?
Band was there.
Do they still got that band director, the dude
that... He dresses like a pimp?
He dressed like a pimp. Y'all got it. Oh, matter of fact, I'm going to put it on Twitter, man. Just look at my Twitter. I'm going to find it. Man, that is awesome, man. That dude, they play great music. Their band's lively. And he literally dressed like a Chicago pimp. He's in like a suit with the hat, with the cane. Yeah.
You got know? The cane. He wears sunglasses.
Yes,
and
he does.
I was quite convinced that he was going to introduce me to some ladies.
Oh my God. That is awesome.
But they do play a lot of really fun music. It's a lot of real current stuff, bunch of 90s tunes. They were playing Rage Against the Machine. They have vocalists. They have dancers. There's a lot going on, and it's definitely not choreographed all that well.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden these girls like jump up and start dancing. It's like you could tell that they're kind of trying to do the same dance, but they're not all that close to it.
Hey, man, to me, when you're dancing, man, just go to the rhythm of your own beat, man. So everybody have fun. That's how I look at it. You know?
But look them up on YouTube.
Doc
anybody's
Nix.
Listening.
Doc Nix. I'm looking at it now, man.
They're a lot of fun.
Oh, God, yes. So look it up. His name is Doc Nixon, George Mason. He's the Pep Band director. And his outfits, oh, look at that. Look at all the outfits. Look it up, man. It's a good follow, man. So
anyway.
Yes, yes. We've rambled enough.
Yes. So the reason I mentioned that it was madness this month is the new league year, the free agency. I think we have to, our starting point needs to be, it's really the end of an era with who the Buffalo Bills had let go. And a lot of us Bills fans, pretty emotional. But now that the dust has settled a little bit, letting go of Trey White, Jordan Poyer, a couple others, Mitch Morse. How are you feeling emotionally about this now that it's a couple of weeks in the rear view?
Man, to be honest with you, man, that's a great question. And you look on, and once again, I stay on Twitter, man. I like to see people's reactions. That's entertaining to me, right? I'm not that emotionally tied to people as I get older, like as I used to be, right? Mm-hmm. As I get older, I just want to win. So I don't really care. And that's not with the Buffalo Bills. It's also with my other teams. I'm a big Michigan fan. We fired Juwan Howard on Friday, right? He's a Michigan great Fab Five all-timer, but it was time. So I hate that for him because I care about him, but ultimately I care about the team. So it had to be done. And so I just look at it like this, and we talked about this, y'all. So now I'm getting in my therapy mode. We talked about this when Josh Allen got paid. Once he got our window, here's what I say. I think we're in a Super Bowl window, right? But I'm going to tell you what, it does close a little bit once you pay your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to happen is you're going to have casualties now. And that's what we saw. You can keep kicking the can down the street, but eventually that bill's going to turn due. And that's what's happened now. I understand everybody. Poyer signed a 1 year, I think, with Miami. Also, Saran Neal, did he also go to Miami? I think.
Yeah.
So we lost Saran Neal, we lost Poyer. But what I didn't understand was the center position. What I did not understand was that. I wish we could have kept our Mitch Morris, you know, because he's a leader, all right? And that center position is like the quarterback of the line. I'm interested to see how that's going to work with Colin McGovern moving over and David Edwards moving in the guard. Do we draft a center? Do we draft a guard? Like, so I'm eager to see that. But once again, I emotionally, I'm not mad. I'm just more interested in seeing how we figure this out. And like we always talked about on this show, Brandon Bean is hit and miss when it comes to the draft. We don't have much money. You see, we're not big players in free agency, right? We knew we wouldn't have the money. We're just trying to get under the cap, all right? And so we got to hit on draft picks.
Yep.
And so that's the biggest thing to me now, how we do the draft and how it fits. It isn't, like I said, we say this year in, year out. It is the best player available. We have holes we got to fill. So I'm going to be real interested now how we fill those holes. But as far as emotional attachment, no, I have little to none. I wish them well. They served us well. They helped us get to playoff games and have memories. But we do have to get younger. I see the other side of it. And so hopefully we could get better. Will we get better? I'll tell you in 5 or 6 weeks when draft day comes, and we will be talking about it.
It is a good year to have 11 picks.
Yes.
Because you're basically affording yourself margin of error the more picks that you have. Now, we know how Bean does this. He falls in love with players. He moves up seemingly every single draft. He moves up in one of the first two rounds. The problem with doing that is anytime you move up, what you're doing is giving up other draft picks, which could potentially be mitigating your risk. So when you end up trading up for a Cody Ford, granted, you may not, if you stayed pat, you may not have gotten the player that you wanted. But when that player doesn't work out, you've now cost yourself two players or more, depending on how many you've given up. So with 11 picks, are there 11 open spots on the roster? Well, I think you could argue that there's a potential for 11 people to make it, but it's unlikely. Could 8 make this Bills squad? I would say yes. You could definitely find 8 draft picks making this Bills team. You think that's more than probably, you know, more than possible?
I'm just saying my theory on that is probably different. Meaning,
what is your theory?
I want 12 picks, and then I want as many picks because, like you said, it mitigates the risk and it raises my likelihood of hitting on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So give me the 12 picks, and then if 8 make it, great. Hopefully those are 8 good players versus just I got 8 picks and maybe they'll make it, maybe they won't. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, give me 20 picks. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, he's 50-50. So yes. If whether that's round 1 or round 7 or 8, whatever. So give me the more picks, and then that's more chance of him messing up, but it's also more chance of him succeeding. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I agree with what you're saying. It's just give me the more picks.
I gotcha. And I suppose you're also correct about that, because if you have somebody who plays well enough in the preseason, you can then trade that player.
Yes.
We've seen that in the past.
Right. And the more young talent is, it's going to be cheaper. That's the thing too. So if you can find a good young player, like what was Christian Bedford? He was a low draft pick, right?
Yeah, he was like a 6th rounder.
Yeah, give me 8 or 9. Give me some of them. Give me Christian Bedford, because that's the perfect example. Christian Bedford, 7th round pick, that makes up for Kyrie Elam being a bust. Well,
right.
Let me be quiet. I don't want to call him a bust, but
however, they gave up picks in order to select that player.
Right.
So not only did they lose out on that first round pick, they also gave up other later picks that perhaps could have turned into something.
Exactly.
When you trade up, you got to nail it every time.
Right.
So I agree. Zay Jones, Cody Ford, Kyrie Elam, that didn't work out.
It didn't.
However, they did trade up for Khalil Shakir.
Right.
That did work out. And by the way, that goes against one of my philosophies, which is you don't trade up in the later rounds because you can't outsmart the draft board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's typically the way I look at it. You're giving up 7th round picks to move up in the 5th round. That doesn't make a shred of sense to me.
Well, yeah, I see that.
But then it worked.
I don't know. If it's somebody who you're right, you know what I'm saying? It all depends, is, you know, hindsight 2020, if it works or not. It all depends on what your philosophy is. Yeah. And that's why, and once again, that's why I love the NFL, because it's the game within the game. You know, it ain't just what we do on Saturdays in the fall and early winter and stuff. It's also this time of year. Because if we hit on the draft, we're gonna be feeling real good, you know? Like Dalton Kincaid. We like, ooh, look how that's going to be 2 tight ends. Ooh, and he played well this year. You know what I'm saying? Khalil Shakir, is he going to take the next step? You know, James Cook made the Pro Bowl running back. You know, so
it's hey, just... Let's talk about Osiris Torrance, this being the first year that the Bills' second-round pick has landed and had a good rookie season in a while.
But you remember, we've been talking about this for 3.5 years, going on 4 years. I always say, man, go offensive line. You very rarely miss on offensive line. Everything else is a crapshoot, but offensive line usually sticks to the board.
And then Cody Ford.
Yes.
Yes. We'll call it the exception that proves the rule.
And if you want to go even before that, remember 2000s, the offensive tackle from Texas.
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, yep. So it's been a couple. But besides those, man, usually it works out.
Yep.
Look at Osiris Torrance and look at Wyatt Teller, who we gave up on. So,
Yeah,
I know.
So the Bills have lost more than they have brought in. We have a slew of guys going elsewhere. We've got the veterans that the Bills cut bait with because I think a couple things are happening there. They're trying to get younger. They're trying to get cheaper. But I think they're also trying to get more athletic.
Yes.
I think there was a reason that Jordan Poyer was playing in the box at the end of the season, and Taylor Rapp was playing deep safety, even though Taylor Rapp is really not cut out to play deep safety. Mm-hmm. So, younger guys typically are going to be more athletic than dudes that have been in the league for 10 years. It's an age thing. But also, the Bills have not been terribly active in free agency, but the big signing, Curtis Samuel, an athletic guy. I want to know how you feel about that signing.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. And once again, Brandon B., I give you kudos, man. You switch stuff around. You made money appear when nobody thought it would appear, man. He's brilliant mm-hmm. when it comes to that. I like it. I like Curtis A. I like what he did in Washington with little to no quarterback play. So I'm excited to see what he does with an all-pro player, MVP candidate like Josh Allen. He's 5'11", 195. A lot of people say he's like Deebo Samuels, like you could move him around and do different things with him. So I'm excited to see what he does in our offense.
Yeah, he's not as good as Deebo Samuel.
Right, but I'm saying he plays like him. Yeah. Because I've heard some people say Deebo Samuels, he's a poor man's Deebo Samuels, and I heard that people say that he's better than like Isaiah McKenzie. So I kind of group all those guys kind of together. Obviously, Deebo's the best, mm-hmm. but he's better than Isaiah McKenzie.
Yes. And interestingly about Curtis Samuel is that he played running back in college. And you sort of see that in his game where he's got the contact balance and the vision in ways that a lot of receivers don't. So they're going to be able to use him in some interesting ways. Now, one concern here. Mm-hmm. Remember how after the new offensive coordinator took over, all of a sudden the only throws going to Stephon Diggs were like at the line of scrimmage?
Yes.
Nothing was going downfield?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see an offense that is very much predicated on the college game where you throw to a guy 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and assume he's going to be athletic enough to outrun the defense?
I think we're going to see a lot of that with him.
I think we will with him.
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
I think it is, because I'm going to tell you what, man. I think it's a shift in NFL. We're living in a shift. And what I mean by that is, you notice how many running backs have got paid this year? Mm-hmm. It's been more than, I'm talking about probably this whole century. When I say century, the last 24 years. Mm-hmm. Running backs got paid. I think it's a shift. We're going from passing offenses to now we're going back to running backs are important. Mm. They were obsolete. They were dinosaurs there for a little while. Now defenses are so complicated. They're so, you know, they know how to stop passing offenses. So now I think you're going to go back to seeing people running the ball like when we were growing up.
Hmm.
When you had the Walter Payton, you had the, you know, all the Barry Sanders, all the great running backs. I think we're starting to see a shift with that. And I think that's also a byproduct of it. Throw 2 yards, let a guy make a play in open field. Hmm. All right? Because it's hard to get bombs going. It's hard for get a quarterback to read defenses and not turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. All right? So I think this is going to be a byproduct of that. So I think you're going to see a lot of it. Does it bother me? No. NFL's ebbs and flows. It's just like society. Sports is right. A microcosm of life. It's just like society, right? You go from the European cut to baggy clothes. Then it's now back into the European cut, and eventually it's going to get back to baggy clothes. So I think you're seeing the shift in the NFL where get the ball in a playmaker's hands, let's get 5 yards that way. Stretch the perimeter. We're going to run the ball more. I mean, we've seen it with Josh Allen and James Cook. You know, a lot of stuff on the ground. Even though Josh Allen could throw the ball a mile, how many deep balls did we really complete?
You know? Very few.
Yeah. I mean, he could throw the ball a mile. But mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you could throw the ball a mile if you don't know the defense. And I'm sure, once again, our offense, Sean McDermott's probably telling our offensive coordinator, man, just don't turn the ball over.
Wow.
You can just tell. Yeah. Like, don't take shots. Don't turn the ball over. Keep the chains moving. Try to score points, but don't turn it over. And I think mm-hmm. that's part of it.
I think so. I'm hoping that this doesn't turn into a throw it no farther than the line of scrimmage kind of offense, because that would really Well, number one, Josh Allen rushes those throws and misses more of them than he should. But number two, you know, he makes plays downfield, so you don't really want to strip him of that ability. But, you know, Samuel is a type of player who may have some untapped potential still. And the other thing is the value.
Yes.
Gabe Davis got twice as much. Gabe Davis was getting $14 million per year to Samuel's $7 million per year. Now, Samuel is going to come in as a third or even a fourth receiver in this offense. I still think the Bills are going to get somebody to play the boundary, the X receiver. At half the price of Gabe Davis, I'm willing to bet that if he can stay on the field, he's going to have probably more than half the production of Gabe Davis. Because you would think a guy who's making double should have double the production.
Right.
He's going to have more than 50% of that. Unfortunately, I'm getting some Jamison Crowder vibes here. A guy who struggles to stay on the field, is he going to, you know, is he going to be out there? What's the most important what's the most important ability in sports?
Is availability. Availability.
Availability.
I don't know, man. So you think right now today, and once again, we don't know how it's going to play out. We don't know how much time he's going to get. He has 62 catches, 613 yards, and 4 TDs. So do you think if he repeats that this year in our offense, you think that Gabe Davis is going to have 1,200 yards receiving?
No, I'm saying there's no way.
Oh.
Gabe Davis is going to double the production.
Gotcha. Okay, I got you. Yeah, I would much rather have Curtis Samuel at his pace than have Gabe Davis.
Absolutely. It's a much better value, and it's a good player.
Yeah. And I'm not sure he's going to be the third, fourth receiver. Yeah, I think naturally he's probably a slot guy, and we might go in the draft and get a boundary receiver. But what if he starts there? What if the rookie receiver ain't ready to play? And then we trot out Stephon Diggs, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuels. Or, and this is what I wanted to talk about too, and I'm sure you wanted to get to it, let's just talk about it now. What if we trade Stephon Diggs and then Curtis Samuel take his spot?
Oh, stop it. I didn't want to talk about that because...
Oh, we're talking about it. It's that segment now. I'm here for the tea. You see your boy Stephon Diggs with the Twitter fingers again, right?
Are people really still falling for that?
You don't believe it?
So when he says, whatever happens, happens.
Yes, he said, whatever happens, happens when we sign Curtis Samuel. It's speculation now.
And here we go, making cryptic tweets, messing with the heads of fans for the purpose of messing with the heads of fans, getting people talking, staying in the news, wanting attention.
What Deion Dawkins did was messing with the fans.
Yeah, that's true.
Before he signed his extension, he sent out a tweet and said basically something like a goodbye thing to Buffalo. And everybody for 24 hours was like, what the hell's going on? We lose, you know, and he was like, oh, I was just joking. But now with Stephon Diggs, if it keeps happening, if it keeps being in the story, then maybe it's possible. I don't know. Like I said, it ain't the season. It's the off season. We have nothing to do but to read into millionaires' tweets and what they're thinking and try to speculate what they're thinking. But once again, we're going through this again. This is a story. Whenever it's on NFL Live, when you come home from work, you sit down and you have a beer and you're watching NFL Live, they're talking about it, then it's a story. So if it's a story, we got to talk about it, right?
So I guess here's my question. Why are people still falling for it?
Who said it ain't a thing, though? You're saying falling for it like it's not a thing. It's a thing.
It has never been a thing. He has said all kinds of stuff, but it's never been a thing.
Wait a minute. You don't think it's possible that we trade Stephon Diggs?
No, not even slightly.
Is it possible? Okay.
Is it possible? Yes, of course it's possible.
I think it's absolutely possible.
Well, is it on the table? Not a chance.
It's not on the table. Okay. Why? Because his contract or what he is to us?
It's both. The Bills have said over and over that they're absolutely committed to him. He's their number one guy. He's not going anywhere. They think he's the leader. They love him there. And he's just... He's just doing his tweeting thing, which... Okay. And half the time, you don't even know what he's referencing. Now, the only way for a trade to happen, because in the case of trades, it front loads all the cap hit of the signing bonuses. It front loads it into the year that the person is traded. Mm-hmm. The only way this could work is if he agreed to restructure his contract to remove all of that stuff, which would also mean the team acquiring him would have to sign him to an extension. He'd probably need to take a pay cut in there too. So the likelihood of all of that happening is so low, I almost can't even entertain it.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know.
That's fair. I mean, I can't argue with that. That's fair. I just, like I said, man, I'm big on... I don't want to hear... I don't like hearing about this stuff, man.
Yes. I know you don't like distractions at all.
I don't like distractions, bro. Whether it's just due, whether it's something there or not, be like Josh Allen, man. Josh Allen out of L.A. this weekend, walking with his pretty girlfriend. He was in Paris, and he ripped his pants. So that's just, be like that, man.
Have you ever ripped your trousers?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Do that stuff, man. He out there, get you a little superstar girlfriend. He just walking up and down Rodeo Drive with his flip-flops and his khaki shorts and just living life, man. He ain't Twittering, and he ain't... You know, my brother did Twitter in and all that. And I like Diggs, man. Don't get me wrong. I like him. It's just, you're right. I guess we can't trade. It'll be dead cap and all that good stuff. But
so, you know, for me, there's really two Bills topics that annoy me. One of which is, oh, what did Diggs mean? Is he want out? I mean, people keep asking him the questions, and he keeps saying the same thing. No, I never said I wanted to leave. Anyway, when people are trying to decode Stephon Diggs' tweets, it annoys me. And the other thing, and this is actually a much bigger annoyance for me, when people say, oh, the window's closing for the Bills. The window's about to close. The window's closing. Oh, really? Did Josh Allen retire? Like, how is the window closing?
Well, like I said earlier, I understand when people say that, because once again, once his contract kicks in, it's going to be harder.
Of course.
No, but I do ultimately agree with you. As long as we have Josh Allen, we're contenders. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we lose, it's kind of like, it sucks. But I'm cool with it because I know we're going to have an opportunity as long as he's healthy, mm-hmm. right? But now, once again, it's a million moving pieces. Can Brandon Bean put around, you know, can he put the talent around him? Because like Mahomes, right? Mahomes is, we both agree, Mahomes is the best in the business right now.
Yeah, we do.
His team got gutted and he still wins Super Bowls,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which is proof that it can be done, right?
Yeah, but is now once again is Josh Allen Patrick Mahomes?
Well, he's not.
That's the key. So yeah, it can be done, but he's not. We both agree that he's not Mahomes. So he needs more help. So now, and this is what I'm gonna get to once we talked about all the transactions. Can we both agree that we probably are taking a step back right now to get younger? Our team is not what it's going to be. Our team this year is not going to be what it was last year. Because we're both admitted that we're trying to get younger.
Trying to get younger, yes.
Right.
You know However, what I'm saying? If they ran back the same crew, I don't think it would be the same either, because those players that they got rid of would be a year older. And really, I only imagine that Mitch Morse would be playing on the same level.
Right. I agree. Okay. Yeah. Poirier might be a little worse. Micah Hyde might be a year worse. You know, we still don't know what's going on with him. You know, so now, and we don't know the schedule yet. We're going to talk about all these things. Joe Burrow's coming back this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So AFC gets a lot more challenging, doesn't it?
Yes. Your boy coming back with the Achilles, the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers.
It's going to be harder, right? So I would feel better if we were getting better. Now, we're admitting that we're getting younger, right? But are we getting better or worse? Well, we'll see. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2 years from now, we will be a better team than last year. Mm-hmm. When those younger players step up, hopefully we re-signed AJ Epinesa. Maybe he comes into his own. Von Miller contract will be awesome. Maybe we get a couple of players for him, you know, because we got more money. Hopefully Matt Milano comes back healthy and 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever we draft this year, you know, they'll be in their second year, third year. Maybe there's some players. Mm-hmm. So can it happen? Yeah.
Yeah.
John Elway didn't win. I mean, John Elway was a Hall of Famer. He didn't win Super Bowls until what? Until the end. And mm-hmm. I'm cool with that.
Peyton Manning didn't win his first till he was 29.
Yes. I'm cool with that. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about we only know what it is right now, what we can see right now. Right? Patrick Mahomes looked like he ain't going nowhere. I'm hearing that Joe Burrow, I mean, his surgery, he might not be able to throw the same. That's why I've been hearing scuttlebutt about that. Hopefully he ain't that guy. Hopefully he loses the stuff. I ain't wishing him, you know, I don't wish worse for him, but Joe Burrow, man, we couldn't beat him. So that scares me. Aaron Rodgers, hopefully he gets old and he ain't the guy. But, man, just the way their team is built, do you really need much from that position? Their defense is awesome.
I think all you really need is competence.
Yeah. So they don't need much because of the way their team was built.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I don't know. I mean, as long as we win it, but I can see when people say, oh, this was your – like, last year was our chance. That make no mistake about it. I understand why everybody was upset. That was definitely our opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the stars aligned. Yes. Everything externally.
Right.
The stars aligned. Internally, they were just ravaged by injuries.
By injuries, you're right. But I'm just saying, as far as you're right, our path to the Super Bowl, I don't think you're going to get an easier path. Not saying that we can't do a hard path, because Kansas City did a hard path. They went on a road when people said they ain't never want to role play. Well, they did it this year, and they did it without a star receiver. They did it with an all-pro tight end and a defense that was, you know, okay.
And you have to assume that the Chargers with Harbaugh are going to take a step forward.
They're going to take a step forward. The Steelers.
Yep.
They got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Can we talk about that? I know you got to cut it short. We got to talk about that, man. I know we're 40 minutes in, but we got to talk about it. They not only since the last pod did they get Russell Wilson, been to two Super Bowls, one, had a good year last year. They got him and they got Justin Fields for a bag of Funyuns and a juice box. Are you kidding me? And that's why I want to get to this segment, man, because we're toying around. I got to get to this. Hey, man, once again, man, Big Newt, when he's wrong, okay, I'll be the first one to tell you I'm wrong, man. I said 2 weeks ago that I had this elaborate prayer for the Bears and all this stuff. None of that's going to happen now. The Bears is going to be worse off than what they were 2 weeks ago now. You gave away Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give you my, because you know I love my analogies. Do you ever do yard sales?
No, I've never done one.
Okay, my wife and her family love yard sales. I hate them.
Oh, do you mean going to or hosting them?
Hosting them.
Oh, yeah, no, never done
one. I hate them. You know why?
Why?
Don't sell my stuff for a dollar, dude. Do that when I'm dead. When I die, you can sell all my bobbleheads. You can sell my Buffalo memorabilia. Hopefully you box it up and give it to Jalen, and he can have it. But if he don't want it, that's fine. But don't sell my belongings for a dollar, right? Okay. Because the way I see it, and it might be messed up, right? But my wife and her family, like my in-laws, they still do yard sales. They did a yard sale like 2 weeks ago down in Florida. I don't believe in that. Like, no, because in my mind, I'm giving you something that's worth, like, you're selling something I care about for a dollar. And before I sell it for a dollar, I throw it away. Unless it's a kid. Like, I remember we did a 1 yard sale, and it was the Tyrod Taylor jersey. Jalen grew out of it. And okay. So it was a Bills fan, and they was like, I think my wife had $5. I gave it to the kid. I'm like, here, man. He was like, oh, I'm happy. I'm like, okay, I'll do it for that. Sure. I'll do it for that, right? But I'd rather give it away than sell it to you for a dollar. I'd rather throw it away, right? Okay. So now I'm saying all that to say, Justin, if you were only going to – I'm thinking – I was wrong. I'm thinking you're going to get a first rounder next year for this guy, all this stuff. If you were going to get a six – I'm mad at the Bills for not giving up a six-round pick for him. I would have rather him than Mitch Trubisky, and he could have been my backup. I would have gave you a 6-round pick for if all you was gonna get was a 6-round pick, you should have just kept them. You should have just kept them and let them compete with Caleb. If you so sold on Caleb Williams, who I'm hearing that everybody who's seen him evaluate him say he's nothing special. And I've been saying that. I said that once we played USC Notre Dame, he threw 4 picks against Notre Dame and we were average on defense. I was like, no way that this dude is the number one pick in the draft. But you traded Fields, your former number one, for a 6-round pick, right? And then you're going to draft this dude number one. And you still got the same team. So now you don't get no haul of picks, like all that elaborate stuff I said. You're getting none of that. All you're doing is starting over. You're where you was 3 years ago with no more picks. And I can't understand that for the life of me. I have a friend that's a Bears fan. She said she sat in the corner in the dark with a heating pad on and just staring at the wall. She couldn't believe it.
How dramatic.
That's what she said. I see you the text. It was so funny. She loves Justin Fields.
You know, Right? Philosophically, though, I think that you have to move on from your QB in a situation like that. Because what you don't want, especially as a young team, is a QB controversy of any kind. They made their decision. And when you make your decision, you have to commit to it. Otherwise, you end up with a locker room that's torn apart. You just can't have that. So
the incumbent has to be moved. No, well, hold on. Whoa. I'm pushing back on this one. Pushing back. Don't talk to me about culture when you suck. Now, the Patriot way, that was a thing that we all hated, but that's a thing. Because when you're winning Super Bowls, that's a way. Kansas City way, that's a thing. When you suck, you don't have culture.
but you can have a toxic locker room.
I'll get a toxic locker room if it means that I got two quarterbacks competing. Because, once again, I know the old adage, if you got two quarterbacks, you have none. But with the Bears, man, you've been so bad for so long that I feel like, man, once again, this is all philosophy. I know it's, whatever. You're just a teacher. You don't know nothing. You'll let the rich guys who get paid to do this make the decisions. I get it. I'm just giving my opinion.
But here's the thing. Those rich guys end up getting themselves fired all the time for making bad decisions. So exactly. Why the hell not listen to the teacher?
Right. Half of them don't know what they're talking about either. So that makes two of us. But my point is, I just feel like it would be better off if you just get. Well, first of all, to me, the better plan would have been trade the number one pick, get more picks, and build around Fields. Get him more talent. Get him an offensive coordinator that he has for more than a year. He switched offensive coordinators every year. There's no continuity. You don't even know what you got in him. That's why the Pittsburgh Steelers looking like the Chester Cat. Like, I can't believe I fleeced them. God, I told my boy that's a Steelers fan, man, I got to watch my pocketbook around you. You'll take it from under my eyes.
Oh, that's crazy. It's such a Steelers move, too.
Yeah.
You know, because they saw value and, okay, they get Russell Wilson for basically a veteran minimum contract.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And then they bring in a young guy who can actually learn.
Yes.
Who can learn behind Russell Wilson and develop. And by the time Wilson is ready to move on. Now, we don't know. Russell Wilson may be to the... He may have reached the Andy Dalton portion of his career where he's just going to be a glamour boy backup quarterback. I mean, that may be where he is. Although he wasn't bad in Denver last year.
He had a good year in Denver. Right. They just was a bad team.
So when you have a QB that may be decent, and then you have also perhaps gotten your QB of the future on the roster, and you gave up a sixth-round pick plus a veteran minimum salary, you're playing 3D chess while the rest of the league is playing checkers.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
They got high upside for nothing. And if it don't work out, oh, well, you lost nothing.
Right.
Like I said, I wish we would have did that. I would have took that, you know. So I cast off to the Steelers, man. And I know y'all like, man, some of y'all might say, why y'all talk about other team, man? This is a Bills podcast. I got respect for the NFL, dude. I mean, when you do good stuff, I'm going to point it out. When you do bad, I'm going to say the same thing. I keep it real like that.
The other thing is, you know, what happens around the league affects the Bills.
Exactly.
And where this conversation came from is talking about the AFC being competitive.
Right. So, way to tie it all in.
See, I think it makes sense.
You tie it all in. You bring it back. Once I get the rambling, you bring it back.
You got to keep the trains running on time, buddy.
Good job, man. And I know you ready to wrap it up, but hold on. Let's talk about a few more things real quick.
All right.
We also signed Nicholas Morrow.
Yep.
I believe we got him from the Eagles?
Eagles, yep.
Yeah,
he's been a journeyman, but he played for a few different teams over the past few years, but he started 12 games for them last year.
Right. So, I mean, I look at, we lost the linebacker. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Terrell Dodson.
Terrell Dodson. So I just figured he's going to fill in for him. I like Dodson. I think Dodson had a good year. Good kudos to him. Mm-hmm. He moved on.
He deserves an opportunity to start somewhere.
Exactly. You know, and so I think Marl going to be in a situation to play the weak side or the other side linebacker, not middle, because Bernard will be in the middle in case it's insurance, in case Matt Milano takes his time to come back. So I get it, right? Who else? We signed Cam. Go ahead.
The Bills signed that receiver. Not Samuel. I can't think of his name now.
Yeah, me neither. We signed another. He's a depth guy.
Yep, depth guy. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
He's a depth guy. I don't even remember his name.
He's basically Trent Sherfield.
Right. And who else? We re-signed Cam Lewis. We re-upped on Taylor Rapp.
And as of today, they just announced Taron Johnson. Three-year extension. 10 mil a season, highest paid slot corner in the NFL. My God, does he deserve it? Because everything the Bills do on defense starts with him.
Yes, I was all for it. That did make my day, so I was going to get to that. Good job. So
the best
nickel in the game got paid. But before that, though, Daquan Jones, we got him back.
Yes, huge signing.
Yes. So that was a day or two after we lost the defensive end. He went back to L.A.
That would be
I know, right?
Why are we having such senior moments?
Because I'm looking at his face. I'm looking at him in his uniform. It's just the names be slipping me, man. I'm 50 years old. You got to forgive me. But yes, Leonard Floyd. He went back to the West Coast. So I was like, oh my God, this dude had 10 sacks. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. But then we signed Daquan Jones, and that made me happy. So
yeah, and also I think that Epinesa can probably give you similar play to what you got from Leonard Floyd on a cheaper deal.
You think AJ Epinesa could give us 10 sacks a year?
He might be able to, because he has been ascending through the years. Epinesa is not good against the run. He seems to get lucky in the pass rush sometimes, but I'm hoping he keeps improving.
Yes, I agree. So, is there anything else, my friend? I know we're 50 minutes in. I know you don't like to run this long. So,
that's everything I needed to touch on.
Okay, man. So, yeah, like we said, well, the tournament, man, do you know, have you looked at the brackets yet? You know who you got winning yet, or?
No, I haven't. I haven't really gotten through that as of yet, but I don't know well enough to make any intelligent decisions.
Mine ain't intelligent. I host the bracket challenge every year, and I've been doing it for 25 years, and I've only won it only two or three times. So I don't know much myself. So I think the more basketball you watch, the worse it is. You know, I've had girls in my group win because they talk about, oh, I like their NFL. And say, ooh, that coach is cute. And they won my bracket challenge. So, but I think
that awesome?
I know, right? I think on the men's side, UConn's going to repeat as champs. They won last year. They had a great year this year. They just won the Big East tournament yesterday. They're going in as the one seed. So I'm going to go with UConn on the men's side. We got to talk about this now because 2 weeks from now, we'll be getting ready for the Final Four.
So that's true.
We got to get it in now. So I think UConn is going to win on the men's side. And I think on the women's side, it's going to be South Carolina.
Oh. Right?
So
not Iowa, huh?
No, I think Caitlin Clark is going to run out of steam. South Carolina has so much talent. They have, like we said with Brandon Bean, the driver, they have a lot of room for error. Where Caitlin Clark, if she has an off night, then, you know,
oh, I
don't think we'll be successful. And that's what kind of happened with Simone and going back to the state championship. Simone had three shots and scored 3 points in the state championship.
Three shots?
Yeah, on three shots. So I think that could happen with Caitlin Clark. When you have an off night, then what's going to happen? Where South Carolina, they can have three girls with an off night and they still going to win. I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? So, I think it's going to be entertaining. I think the women's tournament is going to be a lot more entertaining than the men. I think it's a lot more star power. I think that's because I think the one and done is starting to catch up in the, for the NBA. I think it's catching up in men's college basketball, you know, where all the stars are still on the girls' side. But in men's basketball, if you're a star, then you leave for the draft in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Where Caitlin Clark, we've been seeing her for 4 years now. Angel Reese at LSU. You got a freshman out of California, Juju Watkins. She's outstanding. So, and we're going to see her for 4 years, hopefully.
Well, there's something to be said about developing the talent, keeping them there, and improving the quality of the game. Now, there is another edge to that sword, which is on the men's side, the teams that do have more vets on them occasionally are the ones who have the huge upsets.
Right.
And that's always fun to watch too. So.
It's wide open now. Now you got mid-majors that can make a run. Dayton can make a run, dude.
They won't.
But I'm just saying they could, like teams like last year, the Final Four was North Carolina, UConn, and then it was San Diego State and South Florida. Central Florida, one of them. So if you're a mid-major, you can if you're a mid-major with seniors that's been there for 4 years, you can definitely upset a Kentucky or North Carolina. You got freshmen that are five stars, but they're still freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're definitely right, man. So that makes it interesting. It's just when the Daytons go and George Masons and the VCUs, and those schools make it, it's like you don't know them. You know what I'm saying? So it's always fun to know the players.
It is fun to know the players, but it's also fun watching those kids that aren't even supposed to be there getting their time in the limelight. I love that.
That's true.
This is why the tournament's so much fun, right?
That is true. So enjoy it, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. You got a song for us?
I do, man. First, I want to say rest in peace to Chris Mortensen. He passed away. I forgot to mention that last week, man. He was a stalwart in the media, man, and we grew up listening to him. So he passed away a few weeks ago. I didn't say it last two weeks ago. I want to make sure I say it this week. So we'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Happy March Madness. Enjoy the time. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go, Buffalo.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smart Water Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.